Sunday, July 20th, the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The first reading from Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 10. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the terebinth of Mamre, as he sat in the entrance of his tent, while the day was growing hot. Looking up, Abraham saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to greet them, and bowing to the ground, he said, "Sir, if I may ask you this favor, please do not go on past your servant. Let some water be brought, that you may bathe your feet, and then rest yourselves under the tree. Now that you have come this close to your servant, let me bring you a little food, that you may refresh yourselves, and afterward you may go on your way." The men replied, "Very well, do as you have said." Abraham hastened into the tent and told Sarah, "Quick, 3 measures of fine flour, knead it and make rolls." He ran to the herd and picked out a tender choice steer and gave it to a servant who quickly prepared it. Then Abraham got some curds and milk, as well as the steer that had been prepared, and set these before the three men, and he waited on them under the tree while they ate. They asked Abraham, "Where is your wife Sarah?" He replied, "There in the tent." One of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will then have a son." Haydock Commentary. St. Augustine says, "These were men in outward appearance, but angels indeed." See Hebrews 13:2. Some have supposed that one of them was the Son of God whom Abraham adored and who bears throughout the chief authority. Tres vidit et unum adoravit. He saw three and adored one, as we read in the Office of the Church. In the former supposition, which is generally adopted, this adoration was only a civil ceremony, if Abraham considered them as mere men. Or it might be mixed with a degree of religious, though inferior veneration, if he imagined they were angels. Or lastly, he adored God in his representatives. He promises but little and gives much in the true spirit of generous hospitality. The food was eaten by the three, apparently, see Tobit 12:19, or perhaps they consumed the food as fire may be said to eat. So says St. Justin Martyr. The second reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 28. Brothers and sisters, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, on behalf of his body, which is the church, of which I am a minister, in accordance with God's stewardship given to me, to bring to completion for you the word of God, the mystery hidden from ages and from generations past. But now it has been manifested to his holy ones, to whom God chose to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. It is Christ in you, the hope for glory. It is he whom we proclaim, admonishing everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Haydock Commentary. Nothing was wanting in the sufferings or merits of Christ for a sufficient and superabundant redemption of mankind. And therefore he adds, for his body which is the church, that his sufferings were wanting, and are to be endured by the example of Christ by the faithful who are members of a crucified head. There is no want in the sufferings of Christ himself as head, but many sufferings are still wanting or are still to come in his body the church, and his members the faithful. St. John Chrysostom here observes that Jesus Christ loves us so much that he is not content merely to suffer in his own person, but he wishes also to suffer in his members, and thus we fill up what is wanting of the sufferings of Christ. The wisdom, the will, the justice of Jesus Christ requireth and ordaineth that his body and members should be companions of his sufferings, as they expect to be companions of his glory, that so suffering with him and after his example, they may apply to their own wants and to the necessities of others the merits and satisfaction of Jesus Christ, which application is what is wanting and what we are permitted to supply by the sacraments and sacrifice of the new law. The Gospel from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." Haydock Commentary. Calvin ridicules those who profess evangelical poverty because they gather from this gospel that there are two states of life, namely the active and the contemplative, figured by Martha and Mary. But what will he answer when he is informed that this is the opinion not merely of monks, but even St. Augustine, St. Jerome, St. Gregory, and many others? They were of opinion that nothing could be found more proper for the illustration of these different states of life. One thing is necessary. Some think that Christ's meaning was that Martha was preparing many dishes when one was sufficient, but others that this one thing necessary was to learn and comply with the will of God, which Mary was employed about.